You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Okay. I have to introduce you to someone who doesn't just sell services. Tonight, I need to introduce you to someone who sells dreams, who sells memories and once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Our entrepreneur this Wednesday is Dorcas Willio, the powerhouse behind Ms. Mundo Adventure and Leisure Travel. She's not just booking tickets, okay? She's curating escapes, crafting adventures, and opening doors for people to see the world differently. And as somebody who loves to travel, I think she's going to be my favorite girl. Dorcas embodies the spirit of entrepreneurship, spotting opportunities in an industry full of challenges and daring to turn her passion for exploration into a thriving business. Tonight, we'll journey with her, not just through destinations, but through the mindset, the courage, and the hustle it takes to build a brand that invites people to pack their bags and live. Dorcas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mpumi.
How do you do?
Hello.
All right. Dorcas.
Good. Thank you.
Dorcas, before Ms. Mundo was even an idea, what was your own relationship with travel?
The whole idea of Ms. Mundo even existing is that I have always loved to travel. I have been traveling or loving it since as young as I could remember.
Yeah.
And literally my parents got me a passport when I was 9 months old.
What? What?
And they took me on my first holiday to Victoria Falls.
Oh.
So I've been made a travel addict, okay?
Yes,
it's something
yes.
I grew up with and... So since that time, I've always had this interest in places and they also used to travel quite a lot and I admired them a lot because in those days there was no Google Maps, there were no GPS and Garmin and all these things, but you know, they would buy those maps and travel and drive all the way from Botswana to Mozambique and go to Malawi and all of those things. So I've always had travel experiences, even from a very young age.
Yeah.
And so the culmination of Ms. Mundo really was just, I think it was just a natural progression. Before I started the business, I used to just travel all on my own, just, you know, find trips and go find how to go to this place and go there. And then when I come back, people will be like, how did you go there? Can you help us plan this trip? Can you help us with this? Can you help us with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I became like an undercover travel agent.
Yes. Yes.
And then I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, why don't I just do this for a living? You know, before I started the travel business, I was working in real estate.
Okay.
And so during that time, I was like, I don't know if I want to do real estate forever, you know. So then this opportunity to start a travel business just presented itself. And I was like, oh, okay, let me do this. I have a degree in business management and a master's in international business management. So when I was working, I was like, okay, let me do a little, you know, side study of travel and just do like a small certificate maybe just to know the ins and outs of travel management and you know, bookings and all of those kind of things. So then while I was working, I started this little course that I was doing, and I can't remember if it was 6 months or 1 year, but I did that in addition to my business management qualifications that I had. And then with personal experience, I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm good to go. And that's basically how it came about.
That is so interesting. And how did you then formalize and structure everything? Because I think it's different. It's different to just say to a friend, okay, book this, da 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 da. But how did you then put a vehicle behind it to say, this is it. I'm building something here, and it's going to take me and everybody else to places they've never been before.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, there's the getting licensed and everything. So I went to Botswana Tourism so that I could be licensed to have a travel agency.
Okay.
And then I got, you know, insurances and, you know, because you need third party insurance and all these things so that you don't get sued if somebody, you know, goes and gets hurt. But you also need to be able to protect them when they're traveling and all of these things. So I got, you know, legit and everything, license and all. And then because I had already traveled, by the time I started my business, I think at that time I had already been to 25 or just under 30 countries.
Whoa.
So I was very well experienced with air travel, taking trains, taking buses and coaches and border crossings and all kinds of things. And so I was already, like, I had itineraries popping in my head already. So I started coming up with itineraries and trip suggestions for people and those kind of things. So basically what I do with my business, we never sell a destination that we have never been to.
Oh, that's so nice.
I make sure that, yeah, because if somebody asks me, you know, what's the malaria situation or sanitation, hygiene, safety, I have to have been there and know if somebody's backpacking in this place, this is what they'll experience. Or if they're in a luxury resort, this is what they'll experience and those kind of things. So because I also felt like it lessens the risk when I know what's being on the ground for me as maybe a solo female traveler. What will this person experience if I went with my family? What will this person experience if I went with my sister or a girls group or whatever? I always felt like I need to be so sure of where I'm taking people because I don't want people to get attacked in the middle of the night in the villa or somewhere, you know.
I didn't know that could happen.
So I really go out there and I experience it firsthand, and I try and stay in as many different places as possible so that I can know if someone is on low budget, medium budget, high end, just what kind of experience that will be before they go. And then I can put my stamp on it and say, for sure, you can go to this place, you can go to this place, and that sort of thing. So these were all the things that I was putting in place so that, you know, when I do these trips and I send people, I can have peace of mind, like I've done the footwork to say, yeah, let me sell this trip, let me sell this destination, let me sell that country. So it's been something that I've fully experienced firsthand myself and my family, so that I was very sure of what I was doing once
that
I
is,
got into the
that
business.
That is some nice kind of research, okay? Oh, I'm just doing research, you know, in this villa, in this five-star hotel, and I'm glamping for research. Must be nice.
You know.
Must be nice. Now, let's talk about the business of all of this, right? Because the travel industry is known for being cutthroat and competitive. How did you find your lane? How did you find your lane, and how are you standing out?
So travel, as you've rightly said, is a highly, highly competitive industry. And it honestly, it gets better, but it also gets worse with the growth of AI and online booking systems, you know, and now there's just so much competition, and it's an industry that is easily saturated because of the event of, I mean, of online apps and booking things and all kinds of things. So you really need to brand yourself strongly and market yourself. But what I would say, what really sets me apart, because my business is very small, I call it a one-woman show, you know. It's a small business. So one of the things that really helps me to stand out is the kind of service that I give to my clients. So happy clients are my biggest selling point, making people's travel dreams come true and serving them every step of the way. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times they ask the same question, I'll keep answering as much as I can until they feel comfortable, trying to give as much information and surety as possible, always trying to be as responsive as possible as well. Responding quickly, by the way, is key, because if somebody sends you an email and you take more than 24 hours to respond, they're just never going to take you seriously. So I believe that if people are treated well, they will not only come back, but they will also refer their friends and family to you. And that has been my experience. I actually have more business coming from word of mouth, you know, than from my advertising efforts. If I'm being absolutely honest, there are people who come here from the US, from Texas, from wherever. And just because, you know, they received that very amazing, just from the inquiry stage to the booking, to the payment, and then to them actually arriving in Africa. And there I was at the airport, doing a meet and greet, you know, they were just impressed, you know, by the amount of personal service, personal touch that you put in there. So that really helps people to gain confidence in you and what you're doing. Of course, there is the creativity part. You have to be on trend with your marketing and advertising. But I've really seen that for me, it's just too much trying to keep up with all the TikToks and everything.
You get tired before you even deliver the service.
Yes. So for me, I really do appreciate my word of mouth client. But it's not only clients I've come to learn. It's not only clients who also refer us, but also our suppliers, like people that we work with, you know, the lodges and the hotels that we book. They also do send clients to us. They're like, you know, there's this amazing travel agent who could really help you. You know, I was quite blown away at some people who've come to me and said, oh, I got your email from so-and-so, you know, who's one of my suppliers, who's one of the wholesalers, who's not even like a client of mine. But because I have bought a service from them, they referred me, you know, to their clients. So yeah, things like that really, I think always having a personal touch, it really sets things apart. Because if someone has booked, let's say they've used an engine or an app to book somewhere, and then suddenly there's a natural disaster over there, there's a trip cancellation, they are in trouble, they don't know what to do. I'm telling you, those phone calls come in the middle of the night. Can you help me? I need to go back home.
Oh my.
Also, having a human at the end of the line actually
it helps.
Does help a lot.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah. And you know, I'm not surprised that word of mouth is actually the business tool or the marketing that's working for you now, because I've seen so many scandals now. For example, there was this, I just don't know the name, this travel agent that an influencer had actually advertised. So this company took the influencers on a trip and it was great. And because of their influence, people then booked. Now they've ghosted people. They've taken people's money. People don't know what to do. So I get why people would have reservation around something like that. And I don't know if you saw the story that's been making the rounds about these influencers now who were promoting what seems to be a Russian human trafficking syndicate.
You know, I came across that story like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I got the shock of my life.
Exactly.
Because one of those people is actually a friend of mine on LinkedIn.
No.
And I was like, what? I promise you, one of those ladies, I did not want to mention the name.
Yeah.
One of those ladies actually sent me a LinkedIn request and I became friends with them. But on her profile, she seemed like a legit person and whatever she was doing over there. And I nearly fell out of my chair last night when I started really going down the rabbit hole of the story. And I was like, what? These people have been on TV, and like you're saying, they've had influencers, they have had like really influential travel people in the social platforms really pushing these trips of theirs and these things. And I was like, ooh, oh my good Lord, it's really, ooh, the world is getting
exactly.
really bad out there.
Exactly. So we can't trust these ads mm-hmm. anymore. We can't trust influencers anymore. So it has to be yeah. your cousin who says, hey, here's a person, in all honesty. And you know what I love? You know what I love? It's post 2019, mm-hmm. post 2020, mm-hmm. when COVID was rife and people couldn't go anywhere. And I do want you to tell us that story about how you're still standing even post that, because a lot of businesses tanked.
Yes, this is very true. Mm. So for us in Botswana, of course, like every country, borders were closed mm. and doors were locked. People couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So we really had to work hand in hand with our local safari camps, local mm. hotels, local experiences, and say, hey guys, let's bring people out of their homes and mm. let them come and have a holiday just outside of their doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
So we started working on rates and specials that were able to meet them at their point of need, you know, mm. Subsidized, like very highly discounted rates mm-hmm. and try and help them to appreciate what they have at
locally.
Home and not, yeah, mm. not feeling like, oh, I'm missing out because I'm not at the beach. Well, we're a landlocked country, so yeah. most people would love to go to the beach. So yeah. we had to make our own resort towns more interesting, mm. more eye-catching for them. And people really came. People mm. came to the party. Botswana really started traveling locally. And also within the region, SADC region also started opening up a little bit. So there we would make these multi-country itineraries where you can go to the Delta and go to Vic Falls, for example,
yeah.
or go from Kruger National Park and go to Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls is a country. It's a destination I keep mentioning because it's just one of those, you know, the original wonders of the world, and it's right here for us in SADC. So we enjoy it a lot, and that's a destination that people always love to see. I had my first international booking, I think, in 2020. The inquiry mm. came in 2021,
mm-hmm.
and let me tell you, when I tell you about being persistent, okay, this inquiry took more than 6 months of just back and forth emails. I had these four Jamaicans who wanted to come to Africa,
yeah,
and they were so, it's their first time and they have all these reservations, mm. all these fears, mm. all these questions, all these imaginations, all these questions every day. I mean, we had like a little WhatsApp group, and they were asking every day. We were just talking, and I was just taking my time, and I was telling them about this trip that they're going to have here. They ended up booking a 13 days trip. That was amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So the trip included Cape Town because mm. they wanted to see Robben Island.
Mm.
And then we went to Soweto in Johannesburg. They wanted to see Mandela's house. We went to Kruger, and we ended up in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe as well. Mm. So they were so anxious about the trip. So first of all, they were going to do just the trip independently by themselves.
Mm.
But then they eventually asked me, look, would you come and be like our escort or our guide throughout the entire trip? I was like, oh, of course, no problem. So then we did that itinerary, which included me coming in. I flew to Cape Town. And there I was waiting when they came out of the plane. They were like in tears just to be in Africa. They were so emotional. They were having such a spiritual, religious experience, if I can even call it that. You know, they had such an amazing time. And we were together the entire 13 days.
Mm.
We traveled and we went everywhere. I even took them to a church in the townships on one of the Sabbaths. So that was amazing.
Mm.
So we had the trip and then they went, right?
Yeah.
The following year, they decided to book a trip and go to Ghana. They didn't tell me about it. It was just one of their friends who invited them to come.
Oh.
And they went to Ghana.
What did they get for cheating on you?
Let me tell you. In the middle of the trip, one guy texts me and said, "Hey, Dorcas, I hope you're okay. We're over here in Ghana, and the experience is not what we had with you last year. You know, we really, I mean, he was just telling me, oh, my God, we wish we had gone with you. You should have just come with us.
Yes.
And he was just telling me, no, it did not live up to their expectations. Mm. And I've set a standard which they could just not meet over there.
Yes, yes.
So I was happy to hear that, because they after that kept telling me, okay, now we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Mm. They've already given me an inquiry for other trips.
Mm.
But not only that, one of the wives of the guy, they have their travel agent there. They literally introduced me to that travel agent of theirs in America. They're like, oh, you need to meet this girl in Africa because she's beating you to the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you need to work with professional people on the ground. Mm. And I cannot voice it enough that people who are in this industry really need to know what they're doing. It's not just about selling trips and trying to make quick money, because some of these people save their entire life just for this one trip that they're gonna go, you know. So it's important to make it worth their while, you know. Just make that one thing for them, that dream trip, come alive. And once it does, they're gonna be clients for life. And these people have been sending me people's emails,
of
and
course.
Saying, hey, this friend of mine wants to go to Egypt, this friend of mine wants to go there, this friend of mine wants to go there. And you know, that's just, like I said, it's just the word of mouth, the experience that you give people. It makes it so unforgettable that even when they're with someone else and somewhere else, they can't stop thinking about that one trip.
That's what you get. That's what you get. Dorcas, I'm not going to lie, you are making this sound so glamorous. Like, oh, it's just roses and peaches. I want you to tell me about the behind-the-scenes struggles that come with running something like this.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you, for every eight minutes of glamour, there's been 10 hours of stress. So there are definitely a lot of challenges in running your own business. One of the big things that we face maybe as a startup or an entrepreneur is lack of finance or financing. So for me, I was aware that running a travel agency is going to cost a lot of money. So before I started, like I told you, I was working in real estate. So before I started my business, because I knew I'm a traveler, I know it's expensive. It's an expensive hobby, if you want to call it that. You know?
Yeah.
So I saved a lot of money. I was saving up every month. I had a separate bank account, which was just for business savings. So I put a lot of money in there. And that's one of the struggles that people will experience once they start a business. Is definitely lack of finance or financing to continue after that. So it's very important to save, and you know, after you've done your taxes and everything, invest the money, plow it back, and keep it somewhere safe. Something for emergencies should always be there. You shouldn't ever spend all your money. Also, again, one of the things, like I've said, it's highly competitive, so you need to be prepared to really carve maybe a niche for yourself. Say, you know, these days you can say, I want to concentrate on the affluent Black travel market, or the backpacking, or solo travel, or family travel, or females only, or group travel, or you know, you can pick a niche from there. For me, my niche was selling. Well, first I said I'm specializing in African destinations. That's my thing. So I'm not here to sell Disney World. You know, I'm not here to tell you
all the swing in Bali.
No, I'm all about Africa, because I felt like for a very long time the African continent has been getting such a bad rap about wars and famines and everything. But we have so much beauty and all these amazing places that people need to know. So that was my niche. And then from there, people will be like, hey, I want this African trip and that sort of thing. So then that was my niche. But we are talking about the challenges, right? So that's one of the things that just to keep yourself out of that high competitiveness, just pick yourself a niche. And then travel is also an economically sensitive thing, you know. It's not like it's not a luxury, you know.
It's so not it's a luxury, Dorcas. Travel is not a luxury.
I mean it's become a luxury.
I was about to say, I don't think I have enough money to be talking to you.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. No, it's become very economically sensitive in the way that if ever there's an economic crisis, an economic downturn, it's the first thing that people will cut.
For
it's
sure.
Be the holidays.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's also very seasonal. Mm. So, you know, you're going to have months where you're not booking, you're not having any bookings at all, any inquiries. Mm-hmm. Especially the rainy season, people are not traveling, especially to in our destination, which we're selling safaris. You know, people are not coming when it's raining because they know they won't see anything.
Yes.
So you've got your January, February, March, you know, your April, which is very rainy season and no one's coming. So you need to be very creative and start selling, you know, alternative destinations where things are not so bad over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's economically sensitive. So as a business owner, you need to know that there are those very lean months when no one is booking, and you need to be able to control your spending and your expenditures during that time and be very careful with it. Again, another challenging thing with travel, there are things which are out of control, you know, your natural disasters, earthquakes, travel bans or war, unexpected currency fluctuations, or the pandemic, for example, you know. So there are things that are really out of your control, despite how proactive you try to be. So having something like insurance, you know, that can help try and mitigate some of these problems. But oh my goodness, it's the world is becoming so risky these days.
It's so risky.
You have to be so careful. You need to really be up to date with trends. You know, read a little bit, do a little bit of research, and just try and see what's happening out there and keep an ear out so that you don't send people tomorrow and there's a coup happening.
Yeah.
You know, where they're
stuck.
Yeah. So these are some of the challenges that you do encounter as a business owner, especially specifically for this industry, I suppose. There's a lot of risk, and you have to be really always up to date with what is happening out in the world and within your areas of operation, so that you are always aware of what's happening to your people.
Yeah. And speaking of seasonality, how do you build resilience and keep revenue flowing year round if you know there are pockets where business is booming and then where everybody's just staying at home?
Yeah. So going back to my first point where I talked about finance, for me, I had, before I started my business, I had a little savings of about 6 months that I had put just to say, in case of any eventuality, let me have this money in here to cover my operation costs. So it's also important for you as a business owner to sit down and know, what are your basic costs? You know, your rent, your phone, your electricity bills, your, if you have employees, your salaries, and, you know, your fuel costs, your whatever payments that you're making.
Yeah.
You should be able to know at least on a month to month, what are my fixed costs, and just be able to cover that maybe 3 to 6 months ahead. Just keep maybe a little lump of money like that, which is your emergency savings, because that will help you when things really dry out. And when things are good, don't spend all that money. You need to have a little investment account. Like here in Botswana, I don't know about other countries, there are, you know, a few investment vehicles that you can have, where, for example, you can have a like a fixed deposit for 6 months or 3 months or 12 months, you know, where, you know, your money will be safe in that time and it's earning tax-free interest for those months, so that if ever you need it, you, when the 3 months period is over, then you withdraw it, and but it's earned a bit of interest during that time, and you get it tax-free, and then you can have that to help you. It's very important to have something for a rainy day, even for your personal life, not only for business. It's really imperative to always have some kind of financial backup. Never ever spend all of your money, guys. Like, you always need to have something, because something will come. You might forget something. You might forget your taxes. You might miscalculate, you know, your taxes and your returns and things like that. So you always need to have a little bit of money just whittled away, stored away, saved away. It's not for anything. It's just for your backup and your emergencies. And I can't stress that enough. It's really important to have money that you're not using for anything at all. You're not dipping in there. Mm-hmm. It's for emergency. And if the emergency doesn't come, you just reinvest it again and just put it there.
Yeah.
But keep adding on top for that.
Mm.
Because I think the thing that kills us is, you know, just living for the moment and say, hey, YOLO, I'm going to enjoy my life and take everything. You never do that.
Mm.
Even for your personal life, you must always have something just, you know, saved for a rainy day. Even if it's 1 month, 2 months worth of savings, it's always important to have something, you know, at the back of the pot that's just hiding there waiting for that emergency to come.
Yeah. I remember the first trip out of Africa I took was in 2019 when I went to Dubai to celebrate my crown birthday.
Wow.
And I did this through a travel agent as well. And can I tell you, stress-free. But there were people who had stress on my behalf. And it was people who were saying, are you not afraid to be traveling overseas alone? And I thought, what? That's something to be afraid of? What do you mean? And I can imagine, because you focus on Africa, there are so many misconceptions. Yeah. There are so many fears. Oh, and what mindset work or what education have you had to put in prior to having to book these trips for people who might be oblivious or who could just be fear-mongered by others around them?
Yeah, people are definitely fear-mongers.
Yeah.
They want to take the trip, but they are scared. They are terrified. So one of the redeeming factors for me is that I am based in Africa.
Mm.
And so that's what I sell to them. Like, I am based in Africa.
Yeah.
I am here.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived in Botswana. I live in Botswana now.
Yeah.
And I have traveled the entire Southern African region and then a few countries in the north like Ethiopia, Egypt. So I do tell them my background because they do ask, have you been to this place? Have you been to that place? And I always assure them that I will be there as soon as you get off the plane. I'll be there. I'll be the first person that you meet after immigration, you know. So that's one of the things that really helps because you know, like you just rightly mentioned, there are traffickers out there. There are scammers out there. There are people who sell people trips. When people arrive here, there's no one. Their bags are missing. Trip is not booked. The hotel doesn't even exist. And all kinds of things. So I really take my time and talk to these people. We do have Zoom calls sometimes. We do face-to-face calls also on WhatsApp because they just want to ensure that, you know what, you're not going to run away with my $6,000.
Yes.
You know, whatever they're spending, it's a lot of money, you know. So, and one guy really said, look, I have to know that I can't just give you 10K and expect that I'm just going to trust you, you know. So I wouldn't take offense, and I don't. That's just the first thing. I always try and put myself in someone's shoes and say, no, for real, these people, they are scammers out there. So we can't just take it for granted that they'll just trust us. So we always, first of all, whenever there's an inquiry, always try and alleviate their concerns and answer as best to my ability, all their questions and answer them. And once they have paid, then they're like, okay, yeah, now we're coming. And then that's the thing. Once you've received payment, you can't just disappear and go quiet. Because when that happens, they're like, she got the money and now she's gone, you know?
Yes.
So I always try and keep in touch with them and always send them reminders just to remind you your trip is coming. Make sure your passports are up to date and, you know, check your tickets, your air tickets, make sure you've got your medication if you're someone who's on medicals.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you've got your sunscreen or whatever. Always try and make, you know, just a regular checkups with them, also to make sure that they have whatever they need, if they need vaccines or anything, have everything done ahead of time. And then, you know, just assure them, yes, we are. We are waiting. I look forward to meeting you. But yeah, it helps to be in Africa and be selling African destinations because those are things they really worry about.
Yeah.
You're going to disappear overnight, you know. And also because of my history of having lived and studied in Zimbabwe and South Africa, I have a lot of just firsthand knowledge, which you wouldn't have from a textbook.
Mm.
So some of the questions, when they ask me something, they find out I have so much information, and when I guide, of course I go with them as well. I've lived there. Yep. So it's like there's nothing new to me. There's no surprises around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They always enjoy it. They really enjoy it. I remember one guy as well in one of the groups was like, did you have to go to school to learn all these things? Some of these things, I feel like they're just unique to you. I'm like, yeah. No, for sure they are, because you know, I lived in Cape Town for 4 years, and so I know a lot of little restaurants, you know, little things like that. Just make it special for the guests. You are able to really tailor trips to them that maybe they wouldn't be in the guidebook. You know, sometimes you get them a nice little surprise at the end of their trip, and they are so amazed. So yeah, there are definitely those challenges, and those are real challenges, by the way. So we just have to be very well informed about what we're talking about and what we're selling to these people, and make sure that we do show up when we say we're going to show up. Yeah.
100%. And I don't know if this is being too nosy, but when when I think of business, I'm always curious about business models. Like, how are you really making money? And I'm not asking how much you're making, but I'm very curious about the business model in case there is somebody who would love to get into this industry as well.
Absolutely. So, oh no, no gatekeeping.
We're Love it.
So in the travel industry, when you were, you become registered, right? So the first thing, have your license, because every supplier and every wholesaler and every whoever that you're going to work with, they're going to want to see that you are licensed. And once you are licensed, that gives you access to be able to get discounted travel rates. So all the hotels and all the airlines, basically anyone who's in travel, they are what we call tour operator rates. And then we have rec rates. So rec rates is the price that you sell to your customer.
Yes.
Let me say my customer. So I give you rec rates. When I go to the hotels and say, hi, I'm a travel agent, I'd like to add your property to my portfolio, you know, they give us what is called tour operator rates. So those tour operator rates are discounted already. So you add your commission on top.
Yeah.
And that's how we make our business, our profit. So depending on the hotel, it could be anything from 10%, 15%, 20%, 22%, 30%. It all depends on the property or the airline, let me say. Yes. So let's say Hotel B is going to give you 20%. You put 20% commission whenever you're selling their product. And then another hotel will give you 30%. But what happens is that this is a standardized rate, so that when you go directly to the hotel, they'll still give you the same rate that I gave you. And then it gives us credibility as travel agents to say, we're not cheating you, see? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's just say you want to go to the Park Hyatt. I'm just saying.
Yes.
As an example.
Yeah.
Park Hyatt room is $100, okay, per night. So they'll give it to me at $80. And I sell it to you at $100, and I keep 20. Keep $20, right? When you book directly at Park Hyatt, they'll also give you $100. And so you see, I gave you the same price, they give you the same price. So there's no like cheating or anything that is happening in there. And that helps us as travel agents, so that you guys would know that we are not hiking the prices beyond reasonable commission rates. Of course, there are people who do that. There are people who sell you that room for $150.
Sure.
And you know, it's It's up to them. But the hotels do give us what is called commissionable rates or commissioned rates. So then we add our profit on there so that when they sell the room to you and when you buy the room for us, it's just the same rate and no one is really. But of course, it's always up to the business owner. If they want to add more profits or more commissions on that is up to them. Of course, there are also itineraries that we create on our own, and we have different, what can I say, add-ons, you know. For example, maybe we'll sell you a hotel room, we'll put spa treatments, we'll put game drives and da-da-da-da-da, all kinds of things, and then we'll put on a markup on top of that.
Yes.
So generally in travel, I would say the commissions are between 10 and 30%, I would say. But you are at liberty to, you know, add on whatever you want.
Yeah.
And also if the clients do want you to travel with them, then of course you can put in your daily rate that you want to be paid for.
That time you're getting paid to just relax. Well, you're not relaxing because you're on guard the whole time. You're working, you're explaining. So, but still, you love it.
You're literally getting paid to just walk around and take them to the beach, you know?
Imagine that, to be taking pictures of them, to be telling them things you've said a million times already.
Oh, yes. That's the other thing. It can be quite maddening when you have to keep repeating.
Yes, I can imagine.
Because people are different and they always ask different questions.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a point where you've done it the 10th time. You're like, wait, did I say this already? Have I said that?
And you almost sound scripted because you know what's coming up next. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the same arrangements is true with the airlines as well.
Not all.
Okay.
So airlines may work quite differently from hotels. Airlines would only make money if you had a group booking. If it's individuals like FITs, you don't really make anything from them. And also, most clients prefer to make their own bookings because they get points on their, you know, on their credit cards and everything.
Yes.
So it's very rare for people to say, can you book flights as well and everything and all that. So mostly we just deal with the accommodation and then the safari aspect of it, your game drives, your boat cruises and those kind of things. So we hardly make airline bookings, but once in a while, yes, you'll have people maybe booking for local flights, maybe like from Cape Town to Joburg, Joburg to Victoria Falls, just the internal flights. But the international flights, they will prefer to book them themselves because of those miles.
Yes. Oh, that makes sense. What do you wish someone had told you before you started this journey?
Oh my goodness. What I wish somebody would have told me.
Yes.
Because I came from real estate and I went into travel.
Yeah.
I'm basically self-taught. What I wish I had a mentor or a coach. That's what I wish I had. And I came to find that out later in life, in the business, that you really need a business coach or a mentor in this kind of industry, or someone who's done what you're doing, whatever industry that may be, that, you know, you can just look up to and just kind of have guidance on that. Because there are times where the road can be quite challenging, challenging, and you just don't know what to do. What's the next step? How can I improve this? How can I help myself here? How can I take that opportunity? And you just don't know what to do and you don't know where to go. And the people you're asking who are not experts in that field will just give you such wrong advice or just tell you, oh, why don't you just give up and stop that, you know? And then you find yourself in such limbo and you're like, oh no, I don't know what to do. So I would really encourage someone, definitely get a mentor or a business coach, or find, I don't know, influential people on YouTube who are doing what you're doing that you can follow, and find good books, guidebooks that you can read, which can help you, because I was just soldiering on by myself and just living on the road.
Yeah. And this is a mistake. This is a mistake that a lot of people who get into entrepreneurship make. They think that because you know the thing, you know business.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing and business are separate. They're two separate things.
That is so true. And that's definitely Definitely something I would love to encourage people on. Please, please get yourself a mentor or a coach, or if you can, try and work in the field before you start the business. But for me, I would also say it was a weakness, but it's also a strength, because when I came in, I didn't have, because I noticed that a lot of people here in Botswana were fearful to go into the travel industry because they feel like, oh, you have to be so rich, or you have to own this and that.
Of course.
And, because the majority of the safari owners, I guess, have, you know, they have, of course, the financial clout to do it. But I didn't have that mindset. So I didn't have that fear factor. I didn't have the fear part. I was just excited. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And my people are going to travel and go to this place.
Yes.
I got in there with just a little bit of, I was naive.
Oh, naivety is the best thing you can have as a startup business owner. It is the best.
That helped me a lot because, and I was excited. I was excited. Like, I want to see people go, go, go. And I wasn't thinking much about the challenges. I was like, yeah, these people are going to travel. They're going to go there and they're going to love it. And that's all that I was thinking. But you really do need to have a bit of insight about, you know, where what you're getting yourself into. And somehow I've really managed to keep myself motivated. And the thing that keeps me motivated really is the happy clients, that happiness they get when they've done their dream trip. And they're like, wow, we've seen the Victoria Falls. We have done this. We have gone to this place. We have had this bucket list experience. And sometimes it was just such a small part of the trip. But to them, that was like the thing that really made the trip for them. And so those happy people are the people who really keep me motivated and helps me keep doing my best for them, you know. Keep up to date with industry trends.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing that killed people like Nokia, Motorola, you know, not keeping up with the innovations, you know, just do a bit of research, you know, spend some time just finding out where's travel going. What are the trends, or where's this business going? Where's beauty industry going, or this industry, or whatever industry, you know, it's always good to know where the industry is heading and the new developments, and see, you know, how to get yourself in there. How can you be innovative in your niche and your line of work, you know? And maybe if you were just having a general business now, maybe it's time to clamp and have a little niche now, and, you know, see how you can get yourself swimming, you know, with the tide, so that you don't get left behind.
Yes.
Because the way we are in the fourth industrial revolution now, there's just no denying technology and AI.
Absolutely.
So we really have to keep abreast with whatever is happening. It's adapt or die, you know. Yeah.
I hear you. And 5 years from now, where is Ms. Mundo?
Oh, my goodness. 5 years from now, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with the growing travel industry as it is.
Okay.
So what I would like to do, people really look up to me a lot. So what I've come to realize, I have become sort of like a support figure within the industry for the new people who are coming up, you know. So I feel like I enjoy my role as kind of like a mentor, like I've just mentioned. So I feel like perhaps I would not be focusing solely on selling itineraries and travel, and maybe I would have a support business for those who are coming up, maybe guiding them, mentoring them, advising them, maybe like a consultant.
Oh, I'm so glad you went there.
Because I see a lot of people just jumping in and then getting stuck. And then just literally getting wiped out because they didn't see just one little thing that could have saved them, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe I should become a mentor for the young people who want to go into business and travel. Not specifically travel only, but just business in general, because I do have a general business management degree. And Also, I have a background in real estate and investments. And so that sort of thing, I feel like maybe that's where I'll be heading. Maybe as a consultant or an advisor for, for the startups and for the young people who are coming. But definitely, I will continue being a voice for African travel. I will continue because I am so hell-bent on changing the narrative of this continent. We want people to have the right idea about Africa and, that it can be a safe place, that it can be a beautiful place, that it's not all, kidnappings and robberies and pestilence and disease. So I still see myself having a role to play in the African travel space. I also just want to add that I've always been active with community work. Here at Miss Mundo, we do support several charity projects and orphanages across the region here in Botswana and in Tanzania as well. And so that's also something that I'll continue to push for, make sure that we are leaving no one behind. Everyone is getting, education, literacy, and these kind of projects so that everyone can reach, that place in their life where they can help themselves, start their own businesses, do something for themselves, and be able to read and write, and just be able to take themselves out of poverty. Because you can give and give and give and give money, but we need to teach them how to catch that fish,
Yeah, it
you know?
becomes a bottomless pit.
So they need to be able to make micro little industries for themselves. And through my travel industry, through my networks, my years of being in business, I have made many amazing networks with people who are also interested in these kind of visions. And so we'll be able to now help everyone to be able to create businesses for themselves, whether it's just a little garden at home or, a jewelry business or whatever it is that they want to do. So definitely, I see myself heading in that direction.
Absolutely love it. You know what your story reminded me of, right? Or just made me realize that entrepreneurship is a lot like travel itself, actually. It's uncertain, it's exciting, it's full of unexpected detours, but at the end of it all, it's always worth it if you dare to take the trip.
Wow. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I love that. Yeah. Absolutely worth it.
And I'd love to say to
Absolutely
the
worth it.
listeners out there that maybe your next adventure isn't a flight to Paris or a safari in Kenya. Maybe your next adventure is finally starting that business and just trusting the
Absolutely.
vision and finally choosing the unknown over the comfortable. I'm not saying it's going to work, but there is a way that you can navigate, and there's so much you can learn as long as you scratch that itch, because I don't think there's anything as horrible as living with that itch and never knowing what could have become of it if you had scratched it. And so I really want to thank you,
Absolutely.
Dorcas, tonight for showing us that, or showing up rather with courage and creativity. You know, when I was listening to you, I'm
Thank you
like, oh no,
so
you were definitely made for this, because the things you say, especially the parts about COVID, when you actually saw that as an opportunity to culture people and teach them about their very own land. I thought that was very, very genius. And you really showed us that you can build something that is beautiful and lasting and something that gives others joy. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for the memories, the core memories that you have given so many people across the globe. I pray only better and bigger for you, whether it's consultancy or you're continuing with this for as long as God says, okay, now you can pivot. But thank you so, so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, Mpumi. Thank you. I really enjoyed this talk with you
I
and,
did too.
looking forward to the growth of Africa and the travel at large. Yes.
Yes, that is
Thank you so much,
Dorcas,
Mpumi.
everybody. Dorcas Willio of Ms. Mundo Adventure and Leisure Travel. Cheers, Dorcas.
Thank you, Mpumi. Have a good one.
Cheers. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane. And this has been another Wednesday of celebrating entrepreneurs who shapeshift industries and communities and lives, not just of their own, but of those that are attached to the work that they do. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.